Pawns of Chaos by Brian Craig. Narrated by a Border Prince. Chapter 7. Dathan woke up with a start, astonished and alarmed to discover that he had been asleep. Hycilia was sleeping beside him, deeply but not restfully. She lay still, but she was muttering feverishly, as if engrossed in some tense argument. He could see her face quite clearly, illuminated as it was by the lamps of the three full moons. They had passed their zenith now, and their tight formation had begun to break as the nearer ones gradually pulled ahead of the most distant. How long would it be, Dathan wondered, before they came so close to a perfect alignment again? But he had no time for such abstract questions. The more urgent issue was what had woken him up. Dawn was still way off, and the environs of the pool seemed perfectly still. The only sound he could hear was a muted hum, like a swarm of bees around a hive. Bees? In the dead of night? Dathan sat up, trying to figure out which direction the noise was coming from. He settled on the east. Then he stood up, and, once he was upright peering over the bushes, he saw the lights. There were three bright ones, arranged like the midnight moons in a tight triangle, with a horizontal base and a bright apex. But there were others behind, half hidden. The muted hum was the sound of distant engines. Already it was growing towards a roar. Dathan knelt down and began shaking Hycilia urgently. "Wake up," he begged her. "They are coming after us. A convoy of trucks using headlamps and a searchlight to guide them across the plain." It wasn't easy to rouse her. Wise dreamers slept more deeply than ordinary folk, even when they were dreaming as foolishly as anyone else. And Hycilia had matured as a wise dreamer during the last few hours. Once Dathan had dragged her to her feet, however, and pointed to the approaching lights, Hycilia soon realised the extent of their danger. "That's silly," she said. "Why chase us?" Dathan had already realised that his first assumption was probably wrong. "They must be heading for the waterhole," he said. "They must have a map. An invasion force would need good maps, and they must have been preparing to invade Gul Zakandra for a long time." Hycilia didn't answer immediately. Her lips were forming the shapes of numbers as she tried to count the trucks, but it wasn't easy while the others were lined up behind the lead vehicle. "There aren't that many," Dathan told her. 5 or 6, maybe 7. An advance party, probably scouts. "There's a hill up ahead. Maybe they want to occupy it for use as an observation post. It's the only high point for many a mile. And they won't know that there's nothing to be seen from the top of it, but more wild country." "We don't know that," Hycilia pointed out. "For all we know, Gavilon's army might be camped within a mile of it." "If it were," Dathan retorted, "our people would probably have occupied it already. The point is, what do we do? The best hiding places are close to the pool. But if we don't get far enough away and they decide to stop for water, they'll be far too close for comfort." "We ought to find out what they're up to," Hycilia said. Although she didn't sound very positive, "it might be important." "It won't do any good to find out if we can't pass the information on," Dathan said. But he knew that they had already argued too long. The way the trucks ate up the ground was quite amazing to someone used to watching caravans of camels plod across the amber wastes. He grabbed the sleeve of Hycilia's shirt and pulled her in the direction directly opposite to the pool, which happened to be a little east of north. The further they went, the less cover there was, but Dathan knew that they had to make the best compromise they could without any further hesitation. The searchlight was already within range, and although their blue and brown clothing was reasonably dark, the light only had to pick out their pale faces to alert the approaching Imperial soldiers to their presence. "Here," Dathan said, as he found a clump of bushes that seemed reasonably dense but not all that thorny. Hycilia ducked down readily enough, but stiffened suddenly. "They'll see the cut reeds," she hissed anxiously. "They'll know we're here." It was far too late to do anything about their makeshift beds, and Dathan wasn't sure they could have done very much even if they had thought of it sooner. The only alternative they had now was to run as fast as they could into the night and keep running, but they might not be able to outrun the reach of the searchlights no matter how quickly they moved. The trucks fanned out as they approached the pool. More searchlights came on, racking back and forth across the fertile patch of ground. Half a dozen animals broke cover and ran from the light. There was a brief crackle of gunshots. Dathan heard one creature come crashing to the ground, and shuddered slightly at the realization that he had not had the slightest idea that anything so massive was lurking nearby. "I hope the meat poisons them," Hycilia muttered. But wild pigs were good eating, even though they often fed themselves on plants that were not, and gazelle meat was harmless, even though it was somewhat lacking in nutritional value. They heard orders barked back and forth as the men disembarked from the trucks, orders which suggested that the enemy soldiers did not intend to pause for long once they had laid in stocks of water. Some, however, were told to take torches and search the bushes for anything useful, presumably meaning anything edible. The trucks had so many lights that Dathan could see the Imperial soldiers quite clearly. Like the two men he had seen in the Judai forest, they wore tight-fitting grey uniforms. The weavers in his village were skilled, but they could not turn out clothing so neatly tailored. Dathan had always thought his clothes perfectly adequate, but he had never been able to compare their fabric with such cloth as this. The boots and belts the soldiers wore were even more impressive. There was no tanner in the village, so all the leather goods its people possessed had to be brought. But Dathan was lucky enough to have a pair of boots that no more than a dozen boys before him had discarded, having recklessly grown out of them. By comparison with the high boots these men wore, though, Dathan's were horribly shoddy. In addition to their well-stocked belts, the soldiers' uniforms had pockets and buttons. They were decorated with all manner of insignia, whose meanings Dathan could not begin to guess. Dathan had not had time to study the men in the forest before hurrying to distract them with stones, and he had kept his head so fixedly down while they were murdering Holm that he had hardly caught a further glimpse of them. Now that he could see them clearly, though, he realised how very unlike him the Imperial soldiers were. Everything they wore or carried was better designed and better made. Gul Zarkandra was a civilised land, Dathan had always been told. It had preserved a useful measure of the learning brought to the world by the very first humans. But he doubted that there was anything in Gul Zarkandra's cities to match the clothes the Imperial soldiers wore, let alone the guns they carried. "Lie low and lie still," Dathan warned Hysilia. "Don't look up if the light shines our way." It was obvious enough, as much as to remind himself as an instruction to her. She didn't answer and didn't bother to tell him to be as silent as he was still. Dathan heard splashing sounds as soldiers gathered by the poolside, doubtless jockeying for position as they lowered containers into the water. They seemed greatly relieved to have found the pool, and Dathan wondered why their supplies were so low when less than 15 hours had passed since they had captured the village well. Could Kanak possibly have spoiled the well? If so, then the village was dead as well as defeated. Without a reliable well, it could never be rebuilt. The night was rent by a sudden scream, and Dathan remembered his lucky escape. There was a quick blast of gunfire combined with the rattle of a dozen shots, with the sinister, sizzling hiss of a kind of weapon to which he could not put a name. There was a new fusillade of orders and curses. Even the curses the Imperial soldiers used seemed more impressive than those Dathan had heard in the mouths of labourers and tradesmen, referring to an emperor and a throne. Was there an emperor in Kalazandra? Dathan wondered. Or were the soldiers preserving lore of their own, which their ancestors had brought with them when they fell from the sky? Most of the shouted orders were reminders of the need to conserve ammunition. When the panic had died down, though, there was a residual moaning which suggested that the lurker in the pool had not only drawn blood, but inflicted a serious casualty on the enemy. "Gul Zarkandra strikes back," Dathan thought exultantly. His exultation did not last long. Two soldiers were coming in his direction, shining their torches about them, all the more urgently now they knew that danger lurked in the shadows. These were not the feeble torches that the villagers occasionally improvised from oil-soaked rags. Their beams were white and penetrating. They were machines which had seemingly domesticated the light of the sun. Unfortunately, there were animals hiding in the undergrowth, whose instincts commanded them to lie low until they were exposed, and then to run in panic. No animal that was not panic-stricken would ever run into a thicket where humans were hiding, but these torches were too obvious a breach of normal circumstance. A sow and a litter of half a dozen piglets broke from their hiding place and ran straight for the densest cover around, which was, alas, exactly what Dathan had picked out as an ideal hiding place. The sow ran right into him, pursued by gunfire. He had no alternative but to roll sideways as the animal realised her mistake and turned to fight as only a desperate mother would. Had two gunshots not taken her down immediately, she would probably have done him some damage, but as it was, she only contrived to give him away to the men with torches, who were as quick to pounce on the two villagers as they had been to shoot the pig. "Lie still, peasant," Dathan was ordered, as a booted foot came down heavily on his back, pinning him down. He heard a second and identical order, and knew immediately, even though his face was pressed into the soil, that Hysilia had suffered the same fate. Moments later, he was hauled to his feet as his captors shouted back the news that two hostiles had been captured. The Imperial soldiers dragged Dathan and Hysilia back to one of the trucks and shoved them up against the tailboard. Six or seven torches were shining in their faces, and they were blinded by the dazzle. They're unarmed, one voice pointed out. There may be more. There's some rushes over there, sir, cut to make a mattress of sorts, only big enough for two. Doesn't mean there weren't four or six. Might have been taking turns to sleep. Just make sure you cover the area, sector by sector. You, where do you come from? There didn't seem to be any point in lying. The village, Dathan said. Which village? The village. Whoever had asked the question didn't like that answer. The shadow of a rifle butt flickered in the blaze of light and clipped Dathan on the chin, but the man who had struck out at him had already been interrupted and hauled back. He's just an Aborigine kid. His village is the whole bloody world. He's probably never seen a map, let alone heard the names of it. Which way were you coming from, kid? Away from the sun, or towards it? They obviously thought his ignorance extended to not knowing east and west by their proper names, which just went to prove that they were the stupid ones. City-bred merchants always assumed that farmers and rural tradesmen were idiots, and soldiers must be even more confident of their intellectual superiority. We're from the village you attacked yesterday, Dathan told them, his voice fractured by anger and despair. We were in the Judai forest when you set it on fire. There was only one way to run, and only one place to aim for, at least on day one, his questioner concluded, seemingly satisfied that his powers of deduction were little short of awesome. Did you meet the creature in the pond, or did you know it was there? I didn't know, Dathan said grimly. If Icilia hadn't screamed, it would have got me. More than one of them laughed at that. You ever been this far from home before? No, Dathan said. You're Icilia, the question said, turning his attention to his second captive. You've been this way before, Icilia. Not this far, Icilia said. Dathan didn't know whether she was lying, but he suspected she might be. He hadn't had to, but she had spent time alone with Pater Sultana lately, and not in the village. There's supposed to be a hemispherical formation west of here. That's like half a ball, as if the ball were buried halfway deep in the soil. You see anything like that before the sunset? Icilia didn't answer, and Dathan sensed movement within the blaze, as if the rifle butt were being ready for another blow. I saw it, he said, quickly knowing that it couldn't possibly make any difference. It's a long way off. If you could see it, the questioner said, still exceedingly self-satisfied. It's close enough, and we aren't savages walking barefoot. We have trucks, horseless carts. Vroom, vroom! Dathan didn't bother to point out that he and Icilia were wearing boots. He had already realised that the soldier's opinion as to what might constitute a serviceable pair of boots was likely to be different from his own. Should we kill them now? Another voice wanted to know. There's something weird about the girl. Might be a mutant. No, said the questioner, who was presumably an officer. We've got water now, and we can assume it's safe to drink, as these two must have tried it out hours ago. But we still need food. They know better than we do what's edible. We've got a converter. Sure we do, and the prayers to go with it. But even the tech priests admit converters aren't much good if they're only converting local crap that's as much use to us as wood shavings. This place is full of mutants, plants, and animals alike. I've been out in the wilderness before, and I know the value of local knowledge. What local knowledge? They said themselves they haven't been out here before. They grow their own, just like Aborigines everywhere. Even if they did know anything, they'd lie. I can see the point of keeping the girl a while, unless she really is a mutant. But we ought to kill the boy regardless. Didn't you kill enough kids yesterday? Have a bit of patience, why don't you? He's a farm boy, not a sorcerer. So how do you fancy jobs as head interpreter and number one poison taster, kids? Bearing in mind that you just heard the alternative. It won't help you, Icilia said, her voice unnaturally calm. Your leader shouldn't have sent you out here like this. They'll never get back alive, with or without our help. You'll all be dead by sunset. That changed the mood of the men, who were ranged about them in a semicircle. Such good humour as they had exhibited was only a defence against their anxiety. They knew well enough that theirs was the riskiest position of any so far taken by the invading army. May the Emperor protect us, muttered one man reflexively. Praise him, echoed another. Who's going to kill us? The officer who'd been asking the questions wanted to know. But his voice had changed slightly, now that he had heard Icilia speak. He could not possibly know that the voice she had used was not entirely her own, but there was something in it that had disturbed him. He was apprehensive. You won't even see them, Icilia continued. Her voice was thick, as if she had not fully emerged from the wise dream whose confusion had overflowed into the mutterings Dathan had heard. Are you talking about your precious coven masters, the officer demanded, or the horde of beastmen they're supposed to be gathering? Is that what they tell you to keep you in their thrall? That when the evil day comes, they'll use their power to destroy your enemies? Well, I've got news for you. We've got inquisitors and tech priests and prayers that work, and our power outweighs all the petty tricks your hedge wizards can turn. We're the Imperium. "That you are not," Hycilia replied gravely, in a voice so unnaturally deep that Dathan could find none of the old Hycilia in it at all. "What do you know about it?" the officer wanted to know, but his unease seemed to have increased. "I said she was a mutant," another voice put in. "I say kill them both now." This time, it was the barrel of a rifle that came out of the wall of light to prod Dathan in the chest and thrust him painfully back against the tailboard of the truck. "He's right. We ought to kill them now," said a third voice. "Wait," said the officer. "If she really does know something, I want to learn what she knows about this thing that's going to kill us all before next nightfall. If you want to live, girl, you'd better tell me something I need to hear. Give me a reason to hold on to you a little while longer." As promises went, Dathan thought, it was distinctly lacking in generosity. But Hycilia was still in the same trance-like calm. "Nothing I can tell you will be the least use to you," the voice that was not hers said, indifferently. "But if you think differently, your exterminator is already within 200 paces, approaching very quickly from the west." "What?" The officer plainly didn't believe it. But even if he had, Hycilia was right. The information was no use to him. Neither officer nor any of his men had time to begin another sentence before the screaming and the shooting started. The noise was coming from the west side of the camp, and Dathan suddenly felt certain that whenever the name of the Emperor was voiced now, it was voiced in desperation and superstitious terror, not in careless and casual disregard of its true meaning. Dathan knew that he hadn't a second to spare, and he knew that he couldn't trust Hycilia to act rationally while she was in this state. He ducked down, dragging her down with him, and then he folded his arms tightly around her as he rolled between the back wheels of the truck under the chassis. The lights had moved away in alarm. Where there had been a wall of light directed at them, there was now only confusion as the turning soldiers dazzled one another. The group had already begun to scatter, its members getting their weapons ready to fire. It would only have required one of the soldiers to kneel down and unleash a quick burst of any kind of fire beneath the truck, but no one gave that order and no one took the burden of responsibility upon himself. Like the sow that had betrayed the two villagers, the soldiers were creatures of instinct and trained reflex, and Hycilia's melodramatic announcements had pressed all the right buttons. As soon as the screaming broke out, the soldiers ran to face the prophesied enemy that had come to kill them. "What is it that's coming?" Dathan whispered urgently in Hycilia's ear. "What in the world is it?" "I don't know," Hycilia said in her own voice, while trembling with stress and more than a little fear. "But I felt it coming, and it's powerful. The trouble is, I don't know if it knows the difference between them and us. We're hardly big enough to be noticed. And if it doesn't notice us?" The tenor of the multiplying screams and the wild desperation of the gunfire persuaded Dathan that Hycilia might well be right. He did not need an atom of talent to tell him that whatever had not come to save them, no matter how convenient its timing had been. It had come for its own reasons, the first and foremost of which was to kill.